A very good morning and greetings to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A very blessed new year to all of you as well. I'd like us to turn to our passage for this morning, and that's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we are looking at this topic, redeeming the time. Or specifically, what does it mean to redeem the time? Now, that's a phrase that we hear a lot. It's a phrase that we see here in this passage in Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You'll see that phrase next Lord's Day, God willing, as we look at the book of Colossians as well. What does it actually mean? I'm sure we all understand the concept of time. One way to look at it is in the linear passing of time. You look at your watch, you look at the clock, you keep time. And we know that every single day, there are 24 hours. It's the same for everyone. It's the same for anyone, wherever you live on this earth. We have a fixed set amount of time. And our life will be measured by time. It's one of the most common ways to know and understand each other. We know a person's age. We classify people. Oh, you are old. You are young. You are very young. Why? Because you have had this amount of time, right? From the time that you were born, is measured in years. So you say, well, I'm 35, I'm 38, I'm 50 years old, I'm 70 years old. Now that's the passage of time in your life. And all of us will have that fixed amount of time here on this earth to live. It will vary from person to person. Yes, the Bible tells us that on average, right, generally or broadly speaking, the days of our lives are 70 years and 10. What does that mean? 70 years, right? One score in the Bible, in the language of the Bible, is 20 years, 70 years and 10, 70 years. Or if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, and that's 80 years old. And generally speaking, well, that seems to be the norm these days. 70 is actually still considered rather young. And most in our day and age, with all our medical advances, can be expected to live well into their 80s, if not their 90s, or in some cases, even 100. Generally speaking, that's a lifespan. That's the amount of time that you have on this earth. But sometimes, by the will of God, that life perhaps will be shorter. And we hear of children, tragically or sadly, passing. Or those who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. We do not know how much, or exactly how much time we have on this earth. But there is another way to look at this word time. We see it in terms of the actual, you know, seconds, hours, and minutes that you have. But you can see it in terms of seasons and opportunities as well. And that is the term that is used here in this verse in Ephesians 5, verse 16. You see, the Bible has different words referring to time. And specifically the one used here refers the passage of time and time as measured by hours and minutes, but it can also refer to time in the sense of, well, the seasons of time, well, that there is this particular period of time in which this or that is going on in your life, but it can also refer to opportunities that you have. And in a sense, that is how we can see time as well. Well, during this time of your life, well, you are a student. During this time of your life, well, you are a working adult. During this season of your life, you now had the responsibility of being a parent to a young child. That time will pass, because in time to come, you will then be a parent of a youth, of a teenager, or a young adult. And we can measure our time in that sense as well. That in different periods of time in your life, you have different roles to fulfill. You have different responsibilities and different callings to meet. But in each of these seasons, in each of these opportunities, the same responsibility comes to us in that we have to redeem the time. Now then the question comes, what does it mean to redeem? Well, in a nutshell, the word redeem itself speaks of gaining possession of something or regaining possession of something, and especially in exchange for some sort of payment, right? And sometimes it goes by way of different currencies where you use one thing to redeem another. And this is also the term that is used when it is describing our salvation. It is sometimes seen by way of redemption. What does it mean? Well, sometimes the term redemption has been taken to mean that you are redeemed, in a sense, from evil to good. Right? That is your redemption. You have been changed because of a good that you do. Well, that is more a derived meaning from, well, the root idea of what redemption is. Because in its root, the idea of redemption comes from that transaction that has taken place at the point of time, through the salvation that Jesus has wrought for us. Because we know that when we talk about salvation and what Jesus has accomplished, well, there is a transaction there. Because what has happened? Jesus has, through his life, through the perfect life that he lived, and through the sacrifice that he made on the cross, he has paid the price. And that is the redemption there that is taking place. He has paid the price or the penalty that we all deserve by dying on the cross, because all of us are sinners. And because we are sinners, we are all condemned to hell, to destruction. That's what we deserve. And that is the state that we are in. We are in a state of condemnation. But then through what Jesus has done for us, through his perfect life, through the sacrifice on the cross, he has paid that price. He has paid that penalty. He has received the punishment that we deserve on our behalf. And that is redemption, that buying back. Right? He has used himself to buy us back for himself, so that we are no longer in that state of condemnation. We have been redeemed. He has purchased us at a price, at a cost, and that cost is his life. So that concept of redemption now applies to the time that has been given to us, the opportunities that has been given to us. Because the explanation of this verse is that the days are evil. What does that mean? See, the days, speaking to the time that we have in this, on this earth, it is an evil world. It is a sinful world. And if we use our time in the same way that anyone else in the world uses it, what sort of life are we living? The Bible tells us that the ways of the world, these are sinful ways. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And we know that. We know how we are. We know what sort of tendencies we have. That if we do not deliberately and carefully think about how we live this life, very easily, we just fall into our patterns of sin. We become proud. We become lazy. We become full of lusts. And we give in to these lusts. We just do whatever we feel like doing. And we follow the passions of this world. The days are evil. And our life can quickly and easily become evil and sinful as well. But God says, no, I have bought your life with a price. Your life is not your own. This is a life that ought to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And therefore, you must redeem the time. You must, in a sense, buy back that time, purchase that time back, and redeem it for the Lord. And that's the idea here. Yeah, this is something that we have to actively, carefully, and deliberately do. Something that we have to be very mindful of. Because by default, we are in this sinful world and we are living like the manner of the world. But that should not be the life of a Christian. In Ephesians chapter 5, he is addressing Christians here. Ephesians chapter 5, as you know, or rather the book of Ephesians, the second half, from chapter 4 onwards, these are all the practical measures that Paul calls us to do, different walks that we ought to have, different manners of living, different ways that we conduct ourselves. And one of the things that he says here, beginning from verse 15, is that we walk circumspectly. We'll see that in a little bit shortly. We'll see that very shortly. We'll see what it means to live very carefully. That's what it means there. So he says, be very careful. Be very careful about the way that you live. Make sure that the time that you spend in this life that you have, will you make sure that you do not just immerse yourself carelessly into the world, but that you be very deliberate, ensuring that you buy back this time so that this life that you have, it is not a wasted life. It is not a wasted life. Because sadly, and I'm sure that we all, if we are honest with ourselves, we will have to admit that we have wasted. We have wasted so much time in this life that we have lived up to this point of time, however many years you have had on this earth. As the hymn goes, isn't it? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? And there is this line in the hymn that asks, that says, the hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours are spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. And this comes by way of lament. But yet in that lamentation, as we bemoan the loss of time that we have had in the life that we have lived up to this point of time, as we say, yes, indeed, the hours that I've wasted, there are so many. I've wasted so many hours. I've spent so few hours for Christ. Of course, then the desire at the end of that is that, well, Lord, help me. Help me to redeem the time. Help me to use the time wisely for Jesus' sake. Because time, as the other hymn then goes, is like an ever-rolling stream. It just keeps on moving. It just keeps on going. Now, by the end of this day, another 24 hours would have passed, the first 24 hours of this new year. Will we look back and ask, now, how have we used this day for the Lord? And so that is a resource that we have to be very deliberate with. Just as you know, many of you, you're very wise, so to speak, in the use of monetary resources that you have. And you will speak of, well, investments, or being prudent, or being careful with your finances, of, you know, creating budgets for your expenses and the management of your household. And sometimes we are so careful, so deliberate about that resource, we forget perhaps the more important or greater resource that the Lord has given to us. And we pursue, you know, accumulating more and more wealth, not realizing that it comes at expense of the precious commodity of time that the Lord has given to us. So what does that look like? What does it mean then to redeem the time? What is a life, right, that you know, obeys these instructions? What does it look like? We're going to look at a few things that Paul tells us here. We're going to focus firstly on verse 15 to verse 18, right? Verse 15 to verse 18, and four ways, right, in which we must live in order to redeem the time that God has given to us. Firstly, I'll describe it, as I mentioned just now, as a careful life. What does it mean to redeem the time? It means that you live a very careful life, a very deliberate life. That's the meaning of the word circumspect here. It speaks of diligence, of being very specific or careful, of being circumspect. And that's a very wise way to live. And that's what verse 15 says here, right? See then that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's circumspect itself? Looking at the English word, which draws roots from a Latin word, has a meaning of looking around. You can sort of see that in the English word as well. Spect, inspect, right? You look, you examine. You carefully look at your circumference, at the things that are around you. And that's really what carefulness means. When you are careful, means that you are very deliberate with all your actions. You survey the scene around you and you are aware of all the dangers that are in front of you. And so sometimes we'll tell that to our children, right? Hey, watch, careful, careful. Right? The floor is slippery, don't run, right? Because if you run and you're going to slip on the floor, you're going to fall, you're going to injure yourselves. Be very careful. You're walking near the edge. Oh, there's no fence there. If you've tripped, you go off the side, it's going to be very dangerous. And so we tell them, be careful. Another word you can use is, oh, be very circumspect. Of course, it's not quite a word that we use much in conversation, but the meaning is there. Be very deliberate about your steps. That's what he's saying here. And one image that comes to mind every time I look at this word is this thing that we used to do, or at least something that we were trained to do, back in the army, during our basic military training, one of the drills that we learn to do is what to do in a case that you find yourself in the middle of a minefield. You know what a minefield is? Where they put sort of these anti-personnel mines on the floor and they bury it in the ground. And so the mines are set to be triggered upon your footstep. If you step on a mine and you trigger it, your foot leaves the mine, is going to explode. And that's potentially fatal. So, of course, we never actually really went into a real minefield. But we were taught, right, that if you do happen to find yourself in it, you're out there with your fellow soldiers, and maybe one of them triggers a mine, and you realize, yes, I am in a minefield. That means everywhere around me, there is a danger, potential danger, that if I step or tread onto it, could explode in my face. And so what are we taught to do? Straight everyone, crouch on the ground. Take out your bayonet. A bayonet is sort of like this knife that we will carry. And you start to begin to prod. You prod at an angle into the ground around you, right? You carefully sort of make a little dig or make a little hole, right, in your circumference and make sure, all right in front of me, there is no mine. I can take one step. And then I go down again and carefully prod the ground to make sure that there are no mines around me. And then I take another step, right? And you have to sort of carefully prod your way, whether it is to your fallen fellow soldier who has triggered it, you get to him, rescue him, and then together you carry him and plod your way all the way out of the minefield to safety. But you see, that picture that of what we did, I mean, at that time, we thought, this is rather silly. I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's no mines. What do I have to keep on doing this? Because we weren't quite in the mindset of the danger of war. We were just in our training. But you see, that's what the Bible here warns us. He says, the days are evil. It is, as it were, you are surrounded by danger. And every day as you go through this life, if you are not careful about the way that you tread, if you are not careful about the footsteps that you take, very easily, you can tread onto a mine, explodes in your face. What are these mines? These are the temptations that abound. These are the sins that await us. That if we are not careful, if we are not deliberate about our actions, about our footsteps, about the places that we go and the things that we engage in, very easily we can tread upon a mine that explodes in our face. And before we know it, we have wasted the time, we have wasted the opportunity, we have squandered a period or season of time that God has given to us. And so he says, be circumspect. Be very careful with the way that you live. Don't be a fool. What is a fool? A fool is a person who does not think. He's not careful. He's careless. He's not wise. And so he just waltzes through life with not a care in his world, and he dismisses any call for caution. He says, it's all right, it's okay, don't worry. It's fine. Life is good. Enjoy, have fun. The Bible says that is the way of the fool. The Bible says, no, be careful, be circumspect, be cautious. We're not just talking about life in general. We're talking about spiritual matters. Be very circumspect. Be very deliberate. Be very careful in the way that we live, in the things that you do. So that's the first thought that we have here, that we be very wise in our conduct. And that's the verse that we have memorized, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You see, wisdom and this fear is very much related. And like that soldier who fears, in a sense, the dangers that abound, well, he is respectful of these dangers that he is facing, and therefore he's cautious. Well, we fear the Lord. We know how important it is to live a wise and a holy life. And that will teach us to exercise that caution, to be wise in our ways, to be very careful and deliberate, and to make sure that we do not tread wrongly. We do not have any misstep in this life, in our conduct, but that we seek to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, not as fools, but as wise. Because the way of the fool, the Bible tells us, is right in his eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 12:15. Will we go the way of the fool, thinking that we are wise in our own eyes, thinking that all is right, don't worry, let me do what I want. Why do you keep on nagging? Why do you keep on telling me not to do this and to do that? Just let me live my own life. Well, that is the way of the fool that is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So that's the first walk, the first thought that we have, and that is a very careful life. And secondly, in a very related manner, is a very disciplined life. Because with caution, also at the same time, comes discipline. And that's a thought I want to draw from verse 16. And this is something that I've explained in a fair amount of detail already, that we then redeem the time because the days are evil. So firstly, it tells you to exercise caution, right? Be circumspect in your walk. Be very careful. Make sure that you are not foolish in your ways, but you're very careful. And what does that result in? It results in a very disciplined life. Because a disciplined life is one which will then very carefully and deliberately redeem the time, realizing or understanding that the days are evil. You see, if a person is cautious, right, a person who is very careful and circumspect in all his ways, he'll be very deliberate about the way that he spends his time. And that's discipline. Right? A disciplined person is one who will be very careful about the use of his time. Perhaps he's the sort of person that has a schedule. He plans his days well. Because we all know, right? If we fail to plan, as the saying goes, we plan to fail. We are not disciplined. And sometimes, you know, perhaps more so with young people, when we think that we have all the time in the world, we ask, you know, sometimes we are asked, or people ask each other, oh, what plans do you have for the holidays? Or what plans do you have? You've got a few days off. And I'm sure many of us at this point of time, right? And that's the way it is from, you know, a few days before Christmas all the way into the new year, and a few years into the new year, you have forced leave, right? You have time off. So what are you going to do with this opportunity? So I don't know, I'm just going to relax. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's a good thing to unwind and to, well, you know, take that opportunity to have that rest that we need. But beyond that, are we deliberate? Are we deliberate with these opportunities that the Lord has given to us? That, well, yes, well, I have these few days. What am I going to do with these few days? Will we be disciplined to redeem the time because the days are evil? And that's what the Bible calls us here to do. You know, because we know how easily time can get squandered today, how easily we waste time. Whatever it is that you find yourself doing by default, in our day and age, I'm sure many of us succumb to the electronic devices that we have, right? Our phones, I think, in our present time, is the chief culprit of you know, helping us to while time away idly. We sit there, we just scroll through whatever it is, right? News reports, social media, videos, and then we just sit there. And before you know it, an hour is gone, a few hours are gone. What have I been doing? I have not redeemed the time. I have allowed myself to be immersed in the evils of this world. And what use or what fruit has come out of these times that we've been sitting there, idly, just musing away? Well, really nothing much. Nothing much at all. And so, you know, we have to realize, right, as the Bible here warns us, that the days are evil. The days are evil. And so easily we can spend our time in what, you know, Ephesians here also calls the unfruitful works of darkness. And we realize that. Sometimes we think of all this, you know, sort of time-wasting, so-called, as just harmless or innocent fun, harmless amusement. And to a degree, yeah, there are times in which we can allow ourselves, right, some free time or some time to relax and unwind. But we know that taken to extreme, and these are all ways in which we squander time away. And if we are honest with ourselves, there are definitely much, much better uses that we can have for the time that the Lord has given to us. Many of us are very busy people. And a lot of times when we come together, you know, we share, you know, what is going on, and we also ask and request for prayer, you know, time management is something that comes up a lot. And yes, we all have jobs. We all have numerous responsibilities. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we also know that there are many pockets of time. And all these pockets of time, if we do not seize them and use them for the Lord, yeah, I can just all quickly sort of while away, sort of as like sand that sort of, you know, just slips out of your grasp. If you are not careful, you do not clench it tight. It all just falls out. And before you know it, yeah, a day has passed, a week has passed, months has passed. You look back, what have I been doing? But if we're careful, if we're disciplined, if we're deliberate, we say that, yeah, every time, every, you know, I have the half an hour here or 15 minutes there, and if I'm deliberate about these, then there is actually a lot that we can accomplish for the Lord. Whether it is time that we spend waiting for things to happen, whether it is pockets of time, perhaps in the evening just before you sleep, or in your commutes daily, you drive, you take public transport to place. Now, all these are little bits or little pockets of time opportunities that we have, that we can choose, if we are deliberate about it, to do something for the Lord. And some of you share, yeah, you use your commute times to maybe download sermons and listen to them. Some of you have even been doing online courses at the Far Eastern Bible College, using these little pockets of time deliberately, knowing that, well, every day I have this 1 hour, 2 hours in which I'm on the bus, I'm on the train, I'm driving, I can use it for the Lord. These little pockets of time. I think last night, you know, at our watch night service, those of you who are here, Elder Cole shared a very encouraging testimony of how every Sunday, right, he takes the taxi, or a very loving church member actually calls for a taxi, and they share the taxi on the way to church. And he has used that, right, as an opportunity to witness to many a taxi driver that has come to bring them to church. I mean, I know how, you know, the times in which I've taken that, I've just sat there, just fiddled with my phone, Sometimes the taxi driver will engage in conversation and they love to talk about, you know, politics or current affairs and things like that. And then we just idly chatter. Well, one way of redeeming the time, as what Elder Koh has shared, is that, well, he seizes these opportunities to then share the gospel. Talk to the taxi driver. Hey, do you know we're on our way to church? You know, this is what we do at church. Well, this is who we believe in, the gospel. And things like that. Yes, it may not always end well, so to speak. There are times you get into arguments or the times that they scoff or dismiss your faith. But these are ways, opportunities that we can seize to do something for the Lord. And that comes with discipline. That comes with realizing the urgency of the times because the days are evil. So that's something that we have to be very deliberate about, disciplined in doing. And that's something that we all can pray for, isn't it? For more discipline, for better, a more deliberate planning and use of our time. But what then do we do with the time that we have? You say, yes, I do it. I want to make sure that I don't waste any time. Well, verse 17 goes on to explain. He says, therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The word for unwise is a slightly different word that we see in verse 15. The word in verse 15 is really literally just the opposite of wise, right? And so it says, don't be unwise, but as wise, verse 15. Verse 17, when the word here for unwise, literally has this idea of unthinking. It means you don't think. You're thoughtlessness, mindlessness. It has a sense of being reckless with your time. It has a sense, well, really the opposite of being circumspect. And it says, you know, stop not thinking. Basically, that's what verse 17 is saying. You know, stop being so careless about your time. But instead, he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. But you see, that's what it means to be, that's what it means to redeem the time, isn't it? You say, yeah, I'm very disciplined with my time. I make sure that I use all my time well. And yes, out there in the world, there are some people that are very disciplined. Very disciplined. They're very mindful about the time that they have. And they use their time. They maximize, you know, the 24 hours that they have every day. They have a very, very careful schedule. You know, they plan each minute, each hour. But it is in the pursuit of their own ambitions. But that's not what we're talking about here. It's not just about the fact that you schedule each and every moment of every day. So you wake up, where I do this, I go to work, I plan my calendar well, I go to the gym, I exercise, I keep myself in good health. But how about time spent for the Lord? Because the way that we have to organize our time is not just that I don't waste it, you know, with entertainment or you know, sort of useless activities. But it is that I am doing the will of the Lord. And that is the key for every believer. Because yes, there are very many very ambitious people out there. They're very successful. Why? Because of their discipline. You see that, you know, in businessmen, you see that in athletes. They're very careful with their time. But it's not for the Lord. And therein lies the difference of the believer. What must we redeem the time for? It's so that every moment of every day is spent doing the will of the Lord. And that has to be the daily question that we ask ourselves, and that is the guide from which we use the time that we have. And as we ask the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? And that is the opposite of, well, being unthinking, isn't it? He says, stop being unthinking. Stop being so careless. Stop just, you know, cruising through life or recklessly charging through life with not a care in the world, not concerned at all about spiritual things. He says, no. Be very mindful. Be very concerned about what the will of the Lord for your life is. And that's how we redeem the times. Where we constantly ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this season of time? And yes, for many of us, it is fulfilling our responsibilities. Whether it is that you're in a full-time job, whether you are a parent, mother, a father of children, well, these are the things that the Lord has for you to do. And redeem the time. Use it. Seize every opportunity. Because you know, a lot of us have this way of thinking or this tendency to sort of always try to look ahead, to want to get to somewhere, and you sort of can't wait for that to happen. We're sort of living through this life, you know, waiting for the next holiday, waiting for the next break, or waiting for the next transition to the next phase of time of life. As a student, you say, I can't wait until I finish my study. And then you start working, you say, well, I can't wait for that promotion. Or I can't wait for this or that to happen. I can't wait finally when I reach retirement, and then I can relax and enjoy and do the things that I want to do. But in the meantime, you say, oh, well, I just have to go through the grind, right? I have to just get over this whatever thing it is in your life. Oh, I can't wait for my children to grow up. Oh, now they're such a bother. And they require so much of my time. Oh, I can't wait for them to grow up because then I can have more time on my hands. But is that really the way that we ought to live? Just dreading the present and looking or hoping that things will get better in time to come? Understanding what the will of the Lord is means that we realize that every season of time in your life, there is a calling that you have to fulfill. And yes, some of it may be tedious and difficult, challenging even. Maybe the early part of your career, it was difficult. It was tedious. You entered into the company and you were there, the lowest bottom rung, and all the most unpleasant tasks get thrown at you. And everyone is your boss, right? Everyone is your superior. And you have answered to everyone. Yes, it was a difficult grind. But you see, that is the will of the Lord. That was God's calling for you at that point of time. And instead of just always thinking, when can this be over? When can I get over? When can I be something else? Well, you just think that, well, this is what God has called me to do in the present, and this is what I will do to the best of my ability. And that through this, I can testify for the Lord. I can show forth a good witness for Him. That is the season of your life. That is the time that God has given to you. You can choose to go through this murmuring and complaining. You can choose to go through this with a long face. You can choose to be upset, grumpy, and sad every day. And you come back from work. You grumble to your wife. You complain to all your friends. Or you can choose to redeem this season of time in your life, as difficult as it may be. But you go through it, trusting and relying on the Lord. You pray and ask the Lord for strength each day to help you to overcome. And through this, you have opportunities to testify for the Lord. That can be how you approach that season of time. And in that way, you have redeemed the time. Because you were not unwise, but you understood, God has called me to this difficult task. I will do it to the best of my ability for His glory. Same for any other task that the Lord has called you to. To be parents of young children is not easy. It's a difficult time of your life. I'm going through that right now. Yes, it's tedious. It's difficult. And I thank the Lord for my wife who does shoulder the bulk of the burden. Just a few hours ago, our son came in. I think it was about 3 a.m. I think he had something that was bothering him. I don't quite know because I mostly slept through that, I have to admit. But it was difficult, and it's difficult for her. Because not that many hours previous to that, well, our youngest one was having trouble going to sleep. And then just a few short hours after she slept, and then the son comes in, and then he has something. He's like, when will this end? When can I finally have that full night's sleep and that full night's rest? And we think, I just want to get over it. I just want my children to grow up. I want them to be independent. But this is the calling of the present. And this is what we go through right now. And that is the season of time. And again, you can choose to go through it, upset, angry, depressed, frustrated with your children, angry. Oh, we can look at it as, well, this is what God's calling for me. And I seize this opportunity. I thank God that I have the time to spend with the children, to bring them up in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. Yes, they can be frustrating. Yes, they can be tedious. Yes, it's tiring to have to look at, you know, sort of tend to every small little physical need that they have. But we can choose. We can choose to be unwise, and we can choose to grumble our way through it. Or we can choose to seize this opportunity to be the very best possible father, very best possible mother that we can be for the Lord's sake. And make sure that all through that, well, this is God's calling for me. And I cherish each moment that I have, that the Lord has given to me, to be the father, the mother of the young children that the Lord has given to me. And so that ought to be the approach that we have. Understanding, as the Bible here says, having the right understanding, the right comprehension of what God's will is all about. And as James said, for that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this and do that. And that's the best way that we should live, isn't it? That is the best possible use of times and opportunities that the Lord has given to us, that we understand the will of the Lord. Sometimes we look at this whole thoughts, right? Oh, I need to live a careful life. I need to live a disciplined life. I need to live a purposeful life. I need to make sure that I'm doing the will of the Lord. It's so hard. And that's why the fourth thought that we have is that we have a spirit-filled life. Because this tells us, or this grants us the assurance that we are not alone. Yes, left to ourselves, if I were to tell you, yes, make sure that your life is careful, make sure your life is disciplined, make sure your life is purposeful. You say, yes, yes, I want to do that. And you may try, and it may work for a day or two, a week or two even. But we know how easily everything can just collapse and fall apart if we are not led by the Spirit. Because that is what God has given to us. He says, I grant you this Comforter. I grant you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit is that which grants us the strength, the courage, to be able to do the right thing at the right possible time. You're left to ourselves. These are very difficult things. And we know how ill-disciplined we are. We know how careless we are. We know how easily it is that we can just become so purposeless with our time and our life. Therefore, he says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the call here is that, well, we must be led by the Spirit. That's the only way. That's the only way in which we can fulfill this calling that God has for us to redeem the time, to use the time well. That was how the Lord Jesus Christ went through his time on the earth. You look at the life of Christ, and yes, he was all these things. He was extremely disciplined. He was extremely careful. Well, we made sure that his life was very purposeful. He looked to the cross and he knew this is what he has been called to do. This is what he was supposed to be doing with his time. He says, how? Well, the Bible actually tells us that, you see, he was led by the Spirit. You see that in numerous passages throughout the Gospels. Luke 4:1 is one example. That he was led by the Spirit. And even Jesus, yes. Well, he was God, definitely. But through his time on earth, he was constantly being led by the Spirit. And that is how he was able to live that life. But we are told that there were days in which he, well into the night, The crowds had thronged around him, gathered around him, and he was healing and casting demons well into the night. And then the very next day, early in the morning, before the break of day, he went and he prayed. That is discipline. That's redeeming the time, certainly. How was he able to do it? He was led by the Spirit. And that is the same thing that we are called to do here. Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess. What is it talking about? Well, for one, yes, it is a warning about the dangers of alcohol. But more than that, isn't it? What does it represent? When you're drunk with wine, what happens to you? I hope this is not something we have personally experienced, but you do see or you read about. You see, you witness. That sort of drunken stupor that people fall into when they are inebriated. When they fall under the influence of alcohol, what happens? Their judgments, right? Their ability to decide, to make a wise call, is all gone. And they do very, very foolish things. Why? Because they're under the influence of alcohol. And these are terms that the world would use. They know the dangers of alcohol. And they place all these limits, right? No driving under influence. And that is a punishable crime. Because they know that when there is a certain amount of alcohol in your bloodstream, you can't control yourself. You can't control your thoughts, your actions, and you'll become reckless. And that's a picture of a person who is not redeeming the time, isn't it? He's careless, he's reckless, he's charging through life. He's allowing other things to influence his thoughts and his decisions. And that must never be a state in which the believer places himself into, where you are under the control of whether it is the substance of alcohol or drugs or any other things. He says, do not allow yourself to fall under such influence, which will cause your behavior to change. But instead, in very direct contrast to that, we fall under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. That is something that we ought to constantly pray for. That every believer, we have access to the Spirit that is able to fill us, to control us, to guide us, to convict us of our sins and enable us and grant us the strength to do that which is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And so we want to fulfill the will of the Lord. We want to walk circumspectly. We want to redeem the time. The only way in which this can be possible for anyone is that if God guides us, if we are filled with the Spirit and He takes control of our lives. And the word filled here is also a word that we see sometimes used for the filling of a sailboat, of the sails of a sailboat. As we see that in Acts chapter 27, when Paul is on the ship and they were being driven off course by the winds. And so the winds filled the sails and drove them in the direction in which the winds were going. But that can be a picture here of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That we allow, as it were, the Spirit to fill us and take control of our lives, driving us in the direction that the Spirit wants us to go. Where it is no longer what I want to do, no longer my willful desires, but it is God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit that fills me and guides me. And so what does it mean? Well, various statements in the Bible that teaches us what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Negatively, it means that we grieve not the Holy Spirit. We don't do anything that we know is a sin against the Holy Spirit. We quench not the Spirit. It means every time the Spirit seeks to direct us in a certain direction or pushes us in a way that we ought to go, we don't douse out that fire. We don't quench it. But instead, we walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. That we fill our hearts and our minds with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to the Lord always, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. And that is a picture of a person who is filled with the Spirit. That is a picture of a person who seeks to use his time in the best possible way for the glory of God? Is that something that we desire? To redeem the time because the days are evil. I'm sure we all know time is like a currency that we have, but yet it is one that is a limited resource. It is something that we only have for the present, right now. That is the time on your hands. And once it is gone, it is gone. You cannot get it back again. So it's either we use it for the Lord, or we use it for the world and for self and sin. And once it's done, it's done. You can't go back in time. You can't change time. You can't reverse time. So how will we live? How will we spend each day for the Lord? How will you spend the year 2023? 2022 is gone. You can't go back and relive 2022. Whatever mistakes have been made, have been made. Whatever time that has been wasted. It's gone forever. But we have now 1 year ahead of us. How will we then live? Will we redeem the time, realizing that the days are evil? And purpose in our hearts, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to live a life that is useful for the Lord? Or will we waste the opportunities that God has given to us? Because only one life, as the poem goes, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning comes to us. We thank Thee for the warnings which Thou hast given to us in Thy word. Help us to realize the evil of the time. But then, Lord, help us walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And help us not to be unwise, but that we know what the will of the Lord is, and we be very purposeful, deliberate in ensuring that we seek to do the will of the Lord and not our own will. Pray that You forgive us for the many times in which we have squandered our time away. May You fill us with Thy Holy Spirit and guide us, enable us, use us to be vessels fit for the Master's use, that we will seize every opportunity that Thou hast given to us to live for Thee. We thank Thee. In Jesus' most blessed and holy name we pray. Amen.